Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, Merry Christmas. It's so great to see you today. I was thinking about meeting on Christmas Day, and it reminded me of the story. The pastor of a church in San Francisco, they had the Christmas Day service, and he was locking up, and he noticed that Jesus was gone out of the manger. And he thought to himself, you know, that's pretty bad. What he kind of took a cynical outlook. He said, that's pretty terrible that someone would take baby Jesus out of the manger scene on Christmas Day. And then out of the corner of his eye, he saw a little fella with a red wagon. And he went up to him and he said, hey, what you got in that red wagon? He said, baby Jesus. He said, now why did you take baby Jesus? And the little boy said, well, I told baby Jesus if I got a red wagon, he'd get the first ride. I want you to take your Bibles and let's look at our final hymn, Christmas hymn. It's the hymn of Simeon. Simeon was, by tradition, an elderly man. Some think he was, tradition says, 113 years old, but we really don't know that from the text, how old he was. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, I want you to find that place in Luke chapter 2, where we read about Simeon, and I'm going to read from God's Word, Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and I'll read to verse 35. This is Luke 21, it says, Luke 2, 21, and when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now that was day 40, okay? The 40 days they would come back to Jerusalem for that. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, here's the hymn, here's the song, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So we see in this hymn, we've been talking about our theme has been, it's Christmas time, let's sing. And we've done some singing. It's been wonderful. And we know the great theologian Edward said this, the best and most beautiful, most perfect way that we have of expressing a sweet concord of mind to each other is music. It's one thing we do corporately that we do together that demonstrates our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why singing is such a part of our worship experience. It's a powerful gift that God has given us. Luther said, beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. So if you need calming of agitation, just start singing, okay? It'll do you some good. He said, it is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given us. The psalmist said in Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. So quickly, just remember, we had the song of Elizabeth. It was a song of joy. We had the song of Mary, Mary's Magnificat. That was the song of love. The word magnify means to enlarge. She wanted to enlarge the name of the Lord. And then the third song was the song of Zacharias. It was a song of hope, okay? And then we saw the angels last week, the angel song of peace. The angel said, you can know him. You can know God. You should know God. You must share him. Well, the Bible says in our passage today, Simeon was a just and a devout man. Luke loved to do things in pairs. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 6, he talks about things in pairs. He describes things in pairs. So he describes Simeon as a just and a devout man. He was a man who feared the Lord. But here's what I want to get to. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That phrase means the messianic hope that the people of God had at that time. Because you remember during the intertestamental period between the Old and New Testament, there were 400 years of silence. And yet those who studied the Old Testament knew that a Messiah was coming. So, you know, we talk about Advent. Advent means the coming. It's the coming of the Lord. And we, at Christmas time, we celebrate the anticipation of the coming of Christmas, the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Well, times that times 100, times that times 1,000. That's the way these Old Testament, these folks that knew the Old Testament in Jesus' day, that's the way they longed for the coming of the Messiah. And in some ways, folks, on a Christmas morning, as wonderful as Christmas is, there's injustice in the world, there's heartache in the world, there's difficulty in the world, and truthfully, we long for the coming of the Lord, don't we? We long for the second coming of the Lord. And so, and there's so many things that help us here as we apply this to our lives right now. And so, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is something they knew from the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. All the way back in Genesis, it's predicting the consolation of Israel. Simeon knew this. Simeon knew this. And so in Psalm 119, 166, it says, Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9 says, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. I love that. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So you see in the Old Testament, so many of these prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. Well, Simeon, this last hymn, Christmas hymn, this last Christmas song, and it's so wonderful that it happens to fall on Christmas Day. Because when Jesus was brought for the purification, Simeon had, he had by the Holy Spirit had said, you will not see death until you see the Lord Christ. And so here we are on Christmas Day looking at this great hymn. Well, when we think about this song, three things come to my mind. The first one, it was a worship song. In verse 28, he says, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. That word blessed is where we get the word eulogy. It's where you honor and bless God. And so it was a worship song. It was designed, Simeon, think about how long he was waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. And folks, in our lives, on this side of the cross and on this side of salvation, during what we call the church age, we're waiting for the coming of Christ too. And we're looking around us and we see difficulty. We see difficulty in our own lives, trouble. There's trouble in this world. There's injustice in this world. There's things that are not right. There are folks we all know in this church and love that are very ill right now, that are people in the hospital, and all kinds of things that sin has brought into the world. And so we're longing for that. Well, when he finally saw the Lord Jesus, he blessed God. So it was a worship song. Second thing, it was a salvation song. In verse 29, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You're letting your servant depart in peace. The word depart there, in other words, he's saying, I'm ready to die. Simeon was saying, I'm ready to die. You know, until you really understand Christmas, you're not ready to die. If you're here and you don't understand Christmas and all that Jesus did in dying on the cross for us, then you're not ready to die. You know, they say that Jim Elliot and the five missionaries, they would not take guns with them to go visit the Indian people there in Ecuador. They were trying to win to Christ. These were cannibals, the Alca Indians. No missionaries had gone in there and come out alive. And so the wives were saying, will you take your guns? And they said, no, we're not going to take our guns. We're ready to die. They're not. That was their response to that. And so they said, we're ready to die. Well, it was a salvation song, and Simeon is saying, I'm ready to go be with you. He says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. The word depart in the Greek has several meanings, and each of them tell us something about the death of a Christian. Listen, it means to release a prisoner. In some ways, this life imprisons us a little bit. It clamps us in, but when we depart to be with Jesus, we're set free like a prisoner set free. And I love this illustration. It means to untie a ship. Have you ever had a boat on a dock and somehow the rope got loose and you turn around, next thing you know, it's drifting off. Just as calm as calm can be, it's just drifting off. In many ways, that's how the Bible describes death for a believer. They untie the ship to set it sail, or to take down a tent, or to unyoke a beast of burden. A beast of burden in that yoke, and all of a sudden you release that beast of burden. All of this is what Simeon had in mind when he was saying, Lord, you're now gonna let me depart in peace because I have seen your salvation. So the song was a salvation song. Dr. Wiersbe says this. He says, God's people are not afraid of death because it only frees us from the burdens of this life and leads into the blessings of the next life. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. It was a clear connection to God's word. So, it was a worship song, it was a salvation song, and it was a missionary song. In verse 31, he says, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. It's very unusual for a Jewish man in that time to have said it that way. But he did, because he knew that this Jesus who was born, whom we celebrate even today, was for all the world. And so it's a missionary song. In Luke chapter 3, verse 6, it says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In Acts 2:21, Luke writes, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts 28:28, it says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So he says it's a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, but not just to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. So I just wanted to briefly talk about that song. Because Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's a longing. For all these years he had waited. Sometimes life deals us difficulty. Just this morning, Kelly received a text from some of her cousins that one of their cousins passed away of cancer today. And in the midst of all the joy of 17 people in my house this morning, it was a blast. That's kind of putting it mildly. In the midst of all that, Kelly came to me. She said, "Diane passed away. We've been praying for her, and she's been on our church prayer list. She passed away." There is the joy of knowing Jesus in this life, but there's also the longing. And Simeon, at Christmas time, reminds us of the longing that we have for the coming of the Lord. And the blessing that the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ brings into our life. Have you heard the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day"? What a great song. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who was a celebrated literary critic and poet, he wrote this song. Are you ready for this? He wrote this song, and I'm so glad service today fell on Christmas Day. He wrote that song 159 years ago today. It was on Christmas Day. He said, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." Well, it was literally true. And it's interesting. Here's what he wrote. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." He lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He actually lived in a home. They called the house the Brattle Street House, and it was General Washington's headquarters during the Revolutionary War in that part, in that region. It was a regional headquarters there. Well, he lived in that house, and he was in that house on Christmas morning, 1863, and he heard the church bells. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow needed those church bells that day. He needed to hear those church bells because he was a very discouraged man. He had sort of been an optimistic poet and everything, but what had happened was he lost his first wife. She died, and then he married his second wife, and 2 years prior to 1863, his wife was sealing envelopes with wax. They did it back in those days, you know. You've seen that maybe in a movie where they take that hot wax and they put it on there and they put a stamp or something, they seal it. Maybe some of you do that now. They sell kits like that and you seal an envelope with wax. Well, she was doing that and somehow her clothing caught on fire. And Longfellow's wife, her clothing caught on fire, and he was in another room and he ran in there, but the fire had just somehow taken off, and she was deeply burned, and he even laid on top of her and burned himself. He even got burned himself. He did not die, but the next morning she died. And something happened to Wadsworth Longfellow after that. Something happened. Maybe something's happened to you. Maybe something's happened to me. I know of a family that lost somebody on Christmas Day today, and they're hurting. Something happened to Longfellow on that day, and things changed. He got discouraged. They said in reading about him that he turned melancholy after that event. He turned melancholy, and then the next thing, he had a son, Charlie, and Charlie wanted to fight for Abraham Lincoln's Union Army, and so he signed up without his dad knowing it. He was one of six children, and they had lost one of their children in childbirth, but his oldest son, Charlie, he signed up to be in the Union Army, and he got the fever, came home, and they nursed him back to health, but then he went back into battle, and he got shot. He got shot in the shoulder, and it went in one side, exit the other side, and they called Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. They said, "You've got to come get him," and so they went and got him, and the doctor said that the bullet just nicked his spine. Had it been an inch another direction, he'd have been paralyzed forever. But anyway, he was nursing him back to health. And he had just, matter of fact, he had written to a friend. He said this, "The children speak of Merry Christmas, but not me." But then on Christmas morning, he heard the church bells. This song is about listening. Shh, shh. Listen. You know, in the old church at North Central, we had bells. Y'all remember that? We had bells, and man, I think the neighbors got upset sometimes about them bells because we played them bells all the time. I don't know, I think they were electronic, but they had that thing set, and every day at noon, I think it played something. We don't have bells here, but if you listen on Christmas morning, you can hear bells. Well, here's some of the verses that he wrote in that song. He said, and in despair, he had two verses we never sing that were about the war, okay? I'm not going to read them, but they're not really a part of the hymn. The hymn about a decade later was put into, the poem that he wrote was put into a hymn. Well, he had a couple of verses about the war and things like that. But then here's what another verse. He says, in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Shh. Listen. But then he wrote this. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then the last verse, he says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, and the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. As a little kid, many years ago, wondering what life was all about, the gospel entered into my life. The bells rang loud and clear. God is not dead. Nor doth he sleep. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you, if you'll be quiet on Christmas Day, you'll hear the bells. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail. Matter of fact, the scripture says Jesus does not count, he's not slack in his promises. But you know, church family, theologically, we're in what is called the church age. And you say, boy, you know, why doesn't the Lord solve every problem right now? Well, if he got rid of all sin, he'd get rid of me. I'd burn up immediately. You would too. The whole world would end. Well, one day, see, he's waiting. He's waiting because it's another opportunity for someone to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is the church age. This is the time that God's patience is revealed so that others may know Christ. That's why Simeon said, this is a missionary song for all the world to hear. But one day, the Lord is going to return, and he's going to make all things right. I'm so thankful that in the midst of all kinds of questions and searching, the Lord came into my life. And I'm so thankful that he came into your life if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Shh. Listen. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And Simeon said, Lord, now I'm ready. Because salvation, I have seen your salvation.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.